times. It's just like every 6 months, it's just like, it's time to listen to Hot Pockets again.
You've never heard it?
Oh, you got to hear Jim Gaffigan.
He talks about the lava. Like, you buy a Hot Pocket, and you take a bite, and part of it's frozen. You know, then the other part of it, you're like, oh,
it's hot lava.
You can't taste anything for another week, you know, so.
That is funny.
Our goal on this podcast is to know Jesus better, and by the power of his spirit, do better, so together we can be a little better. Well, welcome to A Little Better. So glad to have you here this week for week number 4. Of questions, answers, and the things we'll never know. So 3 weeks of Drew, incredible, but we have changed faces this week. So we've got the last 2 weeks, going to see some different faces. This week, we got to see Jason. I'm not that shocked that Drew handed this question to someone else, but we talked this week. What was the title of the sermon? Why Does God Choose Some?
Why does God choose to save some and not others? So I'm like, oh, thanks, Drew. Thanks for giving that one to me.
And the reason I was, because we were debating, like, even what the title should be and working and stuff. So a little confusion there. But, like, as always, welcome, Jason. Welcome, Matt. Matt Soans is here, too, if you can't see him, because you're listening to the audio. And, dude, I can't keep up with job titles. What's your job title?
I am ministry's lead.
Ministries lead. Okay, would not have guessed that. Okay, that's a good one. He's great at it. So glad that he's here to talk as well. But Jason, as always, let's catch people up. Why don't you give us your sermon in 60?
Yeah, so we had a sermon about salvation and a really difficult question. Why does God choose to save some and not others? Even that title, we're like, should we even use that title? Because we're bringing up this idea of choosing. So like, I thought, we chose God, not him choosing us. So we wrestled with that question. Mm-hmm. Do we choose God? Does he choose us? And we looked at some scripture that talk about us making the choice to believe in Jesus and being saved that way. But we also looked at, there's many passages in scripture where it talks about God choosing us for salvation, even before he created the world, even before the beginning of time. So we talked about, there's that tension there. It seems like both choices are happening. We're choosing God. He's also choosing us. Then we said, like, well, is this fair? Like, why would God choose to save some and not others? And so we went to Romans chapter 9 as our central passage that talks about that. Mm-hmm. And really, Paul, before he even answers the question why, he answers this question of fairness. He says, is God unjust? And so the 2 points he shares are, like, God can be merciful to whoever he wants to. And secondly, like, who are we to question God? He compares us with clay pots, and God with the potter, and God as the potter can do what he wants with his clay. From there, we actually said, okay, well, what is the answer to why does God choose to save some and not others? We pointed out that even Peter says God does want to save everyone, but then why doesn't he? And so in Romans 9, 22 and 23, we talk about God chooses to save some and not others. One, to display his justice. If he's going to be a good God, he must punish evil. And secondly, to display his mercy. And so we want to thank God. He didn't have to be merciful to any of us. And one of the big questions we kind of wrestled with in the message is instead of asking the question, why wouldn't God save everyone? We should be asking the question, why would God save anyone? Why would he save me? And then thank God that he chose to save any of us and praise him for that.
Okay. That was about 120 seconds, but it was really good.
Sorry.
I wouldn't have cut anything. Yeah. I think that's just an indication of how heavy this topic was, how deep this topic was. So I love the way you presented it. I was very engaged. Matt and I were both smiling when you mentioned the pots because we remember your illustration. go back and listen to that part of the message.
Here's the question I have. Do you still have the teapot in the toilet?
I was like, it would be really cool since we like to use props if I can bring my pottery up there. I mean, I still remember that, like, it's a guy who looked a little bit like me and he had like a blue and yellow striped shirt and take the head off, and that was the top of the teacup. And then the toilet, man, I love that. I had the lid come up.
Jason's two pottery projects.
Yes.
One a human teapot, the other one a toilet that became a changed.
They're all glazed and
dish.
It was a cool looking toilet.
We'll have to trust you on that
one. If you missed the sermon, you got to go back.
You definitely got to go back. That'll get you listening, but that was incredible. Yeah, and I would, in all seriousness, just say if this is a question, you know, that is meaningful to you and you had that heard the message, I think you just did a great job of presenting it. So I did want to go briefly into what is a hyper wrong direction look like in either direction? It seems like we're holding a couple of things in tension, right? God's sovereignty and his sovereign choice, his sovereign mercy, you know, his holy justice, but then our responsibility, you know, the choice that's presented to us. And you kind of talked about the paradox, not only there, but there's so much about God that is hard to understand. And frankly, if we did understand it, it must be a wrong understanding because it's too simple.
That's one of the tensions in reading scripture. You see so many places where it seems like we are making free choices and God is grieved and sad at the choices that we're making. And you feel like, well, why would God be sad if like he knew and he already decided that we were going to do that, you know? And then there's also scripture that is like, God is like, nothing happens outside of his, you know, hand deciding that to happen. So how do those two things work? All I can say is like, I see both taught in scripture. I can't perfectly solve the tension. You know, philosophers philosophize about it to try to solve it. But in a, you know, going back to that Romans 9 passage, like, we're not God. So there's ways we can like wrongfully live, like we can live as if life depends on us and like we don't recognize God's hand in it, and we can get proud in ourselves thinking like we're the ones who accomplished what we did or we made the choice to be saved, you know, and it was all of God's grace, but still like would be pat ourselves on the back a little bit because we're like, well, I'm the one who made the decision or the absolute sovereignty side, we could think like, well, God's chosen some, and so I don't know, so I'm just not going to share the gospel because I don't even know there. So those could be some of the wrong prongs.
Yeah, Matt, what's your journey been on this topic?
Wow, that's a great question. I mean, I grew up in a really fairly conservative Calvinistic environment, right? Like 5-point tulip. I don't know if anybody knows what that is. right. So that's where I was raised up and what I was taught. On the other hand, I have my grandfather, and my uncle, were both pastors in, Free Methodist churches that were very much on the other end of the more Armenian spectrum. I have roots in both places, and
do you live today?
It's somewhere in the middle, you know. Yeah. It just seems obvious from like just a plain reading of scripture. You see both things, like we choose and God chooses, and that's what Jason presented today so clearly. And it was just really helpful. So, I think I ran across a quote from Augustine of Hippo, St. Augustine. He's like the only saint we're allowed to quote as evangelicals, right? but just basically saying, if you think you understand it, it's not God.
Yeah.
And there's a sense where this is a mystery that it's a paradox that we can't reconcile or understand. And that's okay because we're not God.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's kind of, I don't know if we're frustrating our listeners or not, just in terms of, you know, There's some terms you may understand them, you may not understand them. People talk about generally Calvinism, which would be the side that certainly highlights the sovereignty of God, you know, and has, you know, interprets, you know, those passages, you know, doesn't really have a problem with Romans 9. Yeah. But Arminian would be that leads more towards free choice and more towards, I mean, it almost sounds like, I mean, this is a disparaging term to say, but like God waits for us to choose would be kind of the Arminian, that we have the clarity,
God the chooses intelligence, based on his foreknowledge of what we would choose. That would be an Arminian perspective where a Calvinist would say that foreknowledge is not like, oh, well, that's what they're going to decide. Like he already had like foreloved. He foreloved us and forechose us.
Right.
So that we would choose. So I didn't want to get into the whole Calvinism, Arminianism debate in scripture.
Sorry, I brought it up.
In the sermon. You know, I mean, I'm fine in here, but I felt like in the sermon, I'm just like, let's look at what Scripture says. Let's not get lost in terms, and let's just wrestle with these tensions here.
Yeah, I think it's just safe to say, I don't want to get bogged down in this too much, is like, we fully acknowledge there's Christians who've wrestled with this for, you know, for centuries. I think it's always the danger just to lean too hard one way or the other, know, either where the sovereignty of God comes to the point of us just saying there's no point in doing anything, right? Mm-hmm. It's fatalism. It's all going to happen anyway. Or it's all up to me, you know? Mm-hmm. So both of those positions are
The big
wrong.
Question you wrestle with, if God is absolutely sovereign, then do we have free will? Can we make our own choices? And so an Arminian and a Calvinist would even see the nature of free will differently, like that God, by his like great prevenient grace, has made us available to, like, okay, we can, God, like, remove the roadblock and now we can choose him. A Calvinist would say, like, apart from God working in our heart, like, we're not going to do anything to choose him. We will freely choose, but we're going to freely choose to do what our heart most loves, and that is not God. Mm-hmm. And so unless God reawakens us, regenerates our heart, we're not going to choose to believe in him. And so I don't want to get lost in that debate, but sure. those are wrestling with the sovereignty and free will question.
Yeah, and I think maybe there's a resource or two. Now, Jason also curates our Equip offerings every week and weekly emails. So make sure you check out our Equip email, because that'll definitely have other resources, ways to think about this. Mm-hmm. So did I ask the question at the beginning? I'm not sure if I did. Like, what did you leave on the table? Did I ask what you leave on the table? I didn't. And I think the reason was because I knew what you left on the table. Which was some application stuff. So I think that would be great and super helpful, you know, for us. So before I ask that question, let me just ask Matt what unanswered questions you maybe had, you know, as a result of this, or where your frustrations maybe lie, or where Jason let you down. I guess it's this.
I felt like Jason handled it so well that I didn't. Obviously, this is a topic that you could study your whole life and not like ever come to a conclusion, because that's the nature of it. Not that there isn't more to be said, but I love the way that Jason handled it and pointed us back to a moment of worship, basically to say, look how incredible our God is that he would choose to save us. Look at his justice and his mercy. We want to serve a God who saves. We also want to serve a God who doesn't let sin go unpunished, doesn't allow evil to go unpunished. Right. And so to see that God clearly portrayed was just an incredibly worshipful experience.
It was.
Yeah, we want God's justice except on our heart, and we want him to give us grace, and we're thankful that he has provided grace for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, so let's get to it. So I know that 25 minutes was a short time. You packed so much helpful stuff into what you did share. But let's unpack a little bit more about application and where you would hope people would go with this talk.
Yeah, I definitely felt like my number one goal, similar to what you're just saying in this message, is that we would be amazed at God's love for us. You can get so locked in this tension between sovereignty and free will, or like this unfairness, that you could be like questioning or feeling distance or, you know, far from God. But I feel like what this doctrine or this teaching should help us to do is be amazed at God's love and thank him that he chose any of us, and really thank him for his salvation. So my first application that I wanted to share was like, we should be thanking God for his salvation.
Yeah, that's incredible. I know that I had a little bit of a journey between embarrassment to worship, right? I mean, it's just like, do we, you know, this can be a difficult thing. Do we have to talk about it? Do we have to preach about this? Yeah. Is it just going to confuse people too? You know, as you were unpacking the scriptures, I was just overwhelmed with God's mercy. And it is, we don't deserve any of it, you know, but just to pray a just God, you know, and a merciful God.
It's tough. I mean, there's these moral tensions or questions in scripture that, you know, like, do we even want to talk about that on Sunday morning? We're just going to raise all these questions. But it's like, we want people to think through what God has revealed to us. Right. So you know, we're going to make our choices and of what we're going to talk about when, but we also don't want to ignore scripture. We want to see what it says. And one of the things I quoted Andrew Nocelli, he talks in his book about sometimes we read these things in scripture and we get to the point of like, I don't like that. Mm-hmm. And the thought is like, well, that's okay. Like, it's okay to not like it. I think it's okay to acknowledge that, but ultimately, if this is what God has revealed and what is true, it's something wrong with us. It's not something wrong with God, and so we don't fully understand God, but we need to get to the point to say, here's what he's revealed, and he has displayed incredible love for us, but we want to get to the point where even though we feel this tension, we get to this point where we love what God loves and what he has created.
Are your wheels turning over there, Matt? I don't want to skip over anything, but that's good. Go ahead. How about the next one? Do you remember what your second application was?
Yeah. Oh, my second application was.
I got it here. If you don't,
I remember. I mean, you can read it for me if you want.
No, I thought it was believe the gospel.
Yeah, we should believe the gospel. So, you know, it's easy to say like, "Oh, I've already believed in Jesus." So the first people in the room, the first application is like, "All right, I'm a Christian. I have eternal life. God saved me. I can thank him." But what if you're not there yet? Like, maybe you're sitting in the room and you've got questions. First of all, this idea of God choosing us just seems morally like unfair, or just you've got objections to it. So you're not even sure if you want to believe in God. Mm-hmm. Or a second question you might really wrestle with is like, God chose us? Like, well, did he choose me? Like, I don't know. Like, how do I know whether God has chosen me or not? So I don't, what would you say to how you can know whether he's chosen us or not?
I would say read 1 John. I mean, John writes like basically a whole letter to answer this question,
right?
Which is like, how do we know if we've been saved? And the like, ultimately, it comes down to what is in your heart. Are you falling in love with Jesus? Are you battling with your sin? Mm-hmm. Is your life demonstrating the fruit of the Spirit? Mm-hmm. You know, so we will, as Christians, and Drew talked about this a couple of weeks ago, like part of the evidence that we have the Spirit is that we are at war within ourselves now. Mm-hmm. Like in some ways, it's easier if you just don't believe. If you're not a Christian, you can just do whatever you want. And you don't have the same sort of internal tension and angst because you don't have a spirit that's at war with your flesh. Mm-hmm. But now here we are at war. Yeah. And so that, I mean, that's part of it for me. Mm-hmm. Like if I was not wrestling with sin, I would start to wonder.
Yeah. It's so good.
Yeah.
Yeah. First John is a tough, it doesn't necessarily get at the aspect of like, who's God chosen other than like who is saved and wrestling with, can you lose your salvation and how do you know for sure you're saved? And there definitely is a lot of like acknowledgement of like, you're acknowledging your sin, you're bringing it into the light and you're loving people. Like if you really love God, then you're going to love people. He talks all about this. So there's evidence in your faith. There can be this, and I probably have this focus in my life where I can get so focused on my sin though, that I'm like, I don't know if I'm really saved. Like, I still am battling with sin. And I heard in a podcast, I like to listen to podcasts, someone talking about, I think it was Dane Ortlund. He might have been quoting like a Puritan of like, for every one look at our sin, we should take 10 looks at Christ and his mercy. Because we can get so into like, I'm not there yet. I'm so imperfect that we can question whether or not we are really saved. That doesn't necessarily answer the question of like who chose us. And so you don't have to wonder, though. The point I wanted to make is like, you don't have to wonder if God has chosen you. Jesus said, believe in him. Paul said, you know, when he answered the question, what must I do to be saved? He said, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. So instead of wondering whether you're saved, believe in Jesus. Give your whole self to him.
Right. That's excellent. That's right. So thank God for our salvation. That second point of believing the gospel, that's the response expected. And I know you had a third application.
Yeah, the last one is to share the gospel with everyone.
Mm-hmm. That's an interesting conclusion. And I say that because, again, if you get in that kind of hyper-sovereignty mode, then you might want to check out and not, you know, share the gospel. But I'm reminded of J.I. Packer, who was a very reformed theologian, you know, fully believed in the sovereignty of God. He wrote a little booklet called Evangelism and the Sovereignty of God. And it was for him, sovereignty of God was a motivation to carry out the gospel to, you know, it gave us hope, you know, when we were sharing the gospel.
Yeah, why do we pray? We pray because we believe that God can move in hearts and change them to believe. So we do believe in God's sovereign hand to, like, move unrepentant sinners to belief.
Yeah. But part of his sovereign plan is to use us. Yeah. You know, he chooses to use us.
So, yeah, there's this question that you might feel of, like, going back to, you could ask for yourself, like, am I chosen? But there's also this question of, like, well, should I share the gospel with them? Because maybe they're not chosen. So then that's a pointless effort. Like, they're not going to believe anyways. God hasn't chosen them. And, like, what we know is scripture doesn't tell us, here's the people God chose, and here's the people God hasn't chose. We are commanded all throughout Scripture to share the gospel with everyone, and it's God who brings them to faith. And then I in the message, I was wanting to get to Romans 9 and Romans 10. Like, in Romans 9, we see Paul, who wrote Romans 9, about this tension about who God is choosing or not. At the very beginning of it, he says he is, like, deeply sorrowful. He's deeply grieved to the point of, like, I wish I could be accursed so that every one of my fellow Jews could be saved. So he's burdened for them. Like, we should be broken in our hearts. You know, I feel like I need to be more broken that there's people in this world who aren't believing in Jesus. And second, in Romans 10, so after he gets done with Romans 9, he says, like, you have to confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord. If you do that, you'll be saved. But he says, like, how can anyone do that unless they hear the gospel? And how can they go unless they are sent? And then he says, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. So God uses our lives. He uses our words to help people choose to believe in him.
And what a privilege to partner with God in the work that he's doing to change people's lives, to bring healing and restoration and hope to people who are just like we were lost in darkness, you know?
Yeah.
And in some ways, you know, you see Paul in Philemon basically communicating what we know to be true, what we find to be true, that when we share the gospel, it helps us to deepen our faith in the gospel. So it's not only, we don't just share the gospel for everybody else, we do it for ourselves too.
Yeah,
yeah, that's incredible. Yeah, God doesn't need to use us, but he chooses to use us. That is incredible to be part of that. I also think about the wisdom of God and us not knowing the list, not the knowing the list of who is or isn't chosen. First of all, we're really bad guessers, right? Yeah. I mean, there are so many people I say, well, I think they believe the gospel, but they don't, or I think, oh, come on, they have no trouble believing the gospel, but they just don't get it. And other people, like, they are so far gone. There's absolutely no way.
Yeah.
I can't see their lives. There's no way God's going to penetrate that skepticism, that unbelief, that wicked lifestyle, whatever it is. And boom, these amazing things happen. So not knowing just increases, for me, you know, just the glory of who he is. And also, yeah, the passion, because we don't know. So, like you said, so therefore motivating us to go. And knowing there's hope, because he can raise the dead. You know, he can bring hearts to life. All right. Thanks so much. I mean, I feel like we, we could go on for a while. Yeah. I love those applications. Thanks so much for bringing a great message. Again, listen to it. I think it's just a great reference on this topic. But I love those applications. To recap, thank God, you know, for our salvation. Believe the gospel. Just believe it and share it with everyone you
can. So what's next week, Brad? You're up.
So next week. So looking ahead, we close the series next week with question number 5. And I will be sharing next week on why is it so hard to know God's will. And I just want to thank God that I get to preach on that topic rather than the one Jason preached on this week. Great job. Please come back next week for the conclusion of A Little Better.